So Quincy City Council President at Large Councillor Nina Liang is joining us once again via teleconference to chat about the City Council meeting of April 6th that was also held remotely again for the second time in the Council's history. Nina, you're getting to be an expert at navigating this new form of communication.
Thanks. Yeah, we actually we had a little bit more technical difficulties last night than we did the first time. So hopefully that's, you know, a one-off and we're going to be doing better at the next one.
Yeah. Was everyone present and accounted for?
Everyone was, yeah. We actually had some more folks who had jumped in as well who weren't even necessarily presenting at the meeting, but, you know, just wanted to tune in. These are really important updates, and so I'm really grateful to see, you know, other city leaders and other city officials who weren't necessarily formally part of the meeting jumping into the call just to tune in and to listen. I really appreciated that.
That's great, and we're happy here at QATV to provide it live on Channel 9, and we'll continue to do that too. I know you have another meeting again next Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happened last night? What was the key point of interest, would you say?
I mean, I think it varies depending on what your key interest is, specifically to what's happening here in the city with this pandemic that we're fighting. You know, we were able to have an update from Commissioner Ruth Jones from the health department, the health commissioner, come and just give an overview of some of the numbers as of last night. And again, these things are so fluid, they change so quickly. But as of last night, we had 54 people who have recovered, you know? And so you hear all these numbers out there about the number of cases growing, the number of deaths, unfortunately, that are growing, especially coming into these next 2 weeks when people are saying that this is going to be the hardest hit time for us, you know, it's really encouraging also to see, you know, how many people have recovered. And to hear that 54 people in Quincy have recovered was really good news for me personally to hear, and really encouraging to see that, you know, we are doing everything that we can. And clearly there is some positive impact there as well. And so we were able to get a debrief from her that was really thorough and really informative about just, you know, what we should be doing as residents here in the city. You know, it's gorgeous out right now. It's close to probably 65 degrees today, but
62 right now. Yeah,
I know. And I have my window open, so if you hear some street noise, I apologize. But it's so hard when, you know, and this is something that I've been thinking about, when you can't see it, you know, when you can't see a huge snowstorm that's coming, you know, it's hard to say, well, I need to stay inside right now. And so it was really helpful to hear the commissioner reiterate the importance of doing so, because you just don't know. You don't know if you are spreading it when you go outside, right? You don't know who you're getting it from. And again, going into these next 2 weeks when we're supposed to be at the height of this thing, it is really critical that we take to heart the importance of really staying at home and the social distancing that we are supposed to be doing, you know, or physical distancing, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just understanding what you should be doing and the precautions you should be taking when you need to go out. You know, if you absolutely need to go and get your groceries or to get some prescriptions, I mean, you can't not do those things either. You know,
right.
You do need to take care of yourself. You do need to make sure that you're taking care of your health and your well-being. And so, you know, she talked about the cautions that you should be taking when you do, again, have to go out and get your prescriptions or get some groceries. You know, wear a mask. That doesn't prevent you from getting sick, but it does help prevent you from spreading it if you do have it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, always have wipes with you so that when you get back into your vehicle, you know, or when you get back home, you are wiping things down. Make sure to section things out, you know, accordingly, so that if you come home with a bag from the store, you have it in one area of your counter. Take things out, you sanitize and put them in another area of your counter. So just hearing some of those steps, those practical steps that we can take these next couple of weeks when it's at its height, was really informative. And I cannot thank Commissioner Jones and her team enough, you know, working around the clock to make sure that all of the different departments are working together to fight this. I cannot thank her and commend her enough for the work she's doing here in the city. We're really lucky to have her.
Yeah, and I think it gives people at least a little sense of control over their own environment, over something that's totally out of our control. There are certain things that you can do and cannot do in order to help yourself and everybody else.
Exactly.
So I know first responders, the police chief, fire chief were also in last night. What is their assessment right now?
Yeah, it was that was another piece that was really helpful, and I do appreciate you know, when they have such important work to do for them to take the time, you know, to pause and to be with us. You know, we had Chief Keenan on from the police department. We had Chief Jackson on from the fire department. We had Mr. DeBona there from Brewster as well. And, you know, it just was, again, really informative to have them there to just talk about what their men and women are doing every day to make sure that, you know, their job is still getting done. But, you know, what are they doing to be safe? And what can we do essentially to help them to be safe as well, right? I mean, whether or not there's a pandemic going on, you still need your first responders, right? And you still need your firefighters. You still need your police officers. You still need your EMTs for other things that are just happening in the world. You add on top of that what's happening. And really, it just was, I think, for me, again, you know, the takeaway from that and the most informative thing was, you know, what, again, can we do to be most supportive to them during this time? And so, you know, talking about some of the needs that they have, you know, especially with cleaning supplies, you know, if you're thinking about, again, our first responders, particularly our police coming in and out of police vehicles, you know, of course, they're doing everything they need to sanitize those vehicles. But those wipes, I mean, they get used, they get thrown away, and you go through them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, the need for cleaning supplies. And you know, if folks have an excess of cleaning supplies and they're not going out and they're staying at home for 2 weeks, you know, maybe donating some cleaning supplies to the police department would be a tremendous help to protecting our first responders. You know, I know a lot of folks in the community have been able to get access to masks and protective gear who they've been trying to, you know, find different organizations and nonprofits to donate them to. Think about donating them to our first responders, mm-hmm. you know, who do need those masks and who do need that, you know, protective equipment. Brewster, you know, also is trying to do everything they can to get supplies in for their first responders. And again, you know, can always use more because we do go through them so quickly and they're on the front lines every day, you know. And for us who are staying at home constantly, we still need to use these supplies. But think about, you know, if we had to be out there every single day, how much more of these supplies we'd be going through and how much quicker we'd be going through them. So I think, you know, it's really important to take away from that, you know, do everything that we can to make their job as safe as possible right now. Yep. You know, if you don't need to be out in the park, you know, with a team of people and your dogs and all. I mean, of course, I know it's so hard. Trust me, I know. I want to take my dog out every day in this gorgeous weather. But, yeah. You know, they're out there right now and we need to do everything we can that we have in our control to make sure that they are staying safe and, you know, that they are able to do their job to then in turn protect us as well.
Right. Yeah, I know there was an update on the temporary shelter for the homeless going on down at the Sasher YMCA, and I'm sure they could use some of those cleaning supplies and masks down there as well.
100%. I mean, between the YMCA coordinating with Father Bill's to, you know, use that field house to house some of the folks who are having that overflow at Father Bill's, just to ensure again that we can practice that social distancing. You know, we were able to donate $50,000 out of that $500,000 appropriation that we had talked about before. But again, you know, these supplies, this equipment goes through so, so quickly. And so, for example, a great, you know, story I'd love to share is, and she'd probably hate me for sharing this because this is not why she did it. But Mai over at the Walloon Kung Fu Academy, you know, they're based out of Quincy Center. They were able to get thousands of masks that they donated between organizations here in Quincy and their other location in Malden. Mm-hmm. And they reached out to Manit. They connected with Manit, who now has the, you know, the mobile testing site, and connected with the YMCA and was able to donate some masks to them as well, a few hundred of them to each.
Wow.
You know, it's those little things that make such a huge difference for these organizations.
Yep.
Who, again, are on the front lines, who are doing this work day in and day out. You know, Manit and the YMCA, they're trying every day to make sure that they have equipment for their staff to be as safe as possible. But it's those little things, right, the drop off of a couple hundred masks that just makes such a big difference for them. So I do encourage, again, folks who have, you know, access to these supplies, cleaning supplies, protective materials, you know, to find our first responders and these organizations like the Y and like Manit, and, you know, reach out to them, connect, and drop some off to them for to use.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's so many people doing so much good. There's Interfaith Social Services, there's Quincy Community Action Programs, you know, Bay State Community Services. All of these folks can use your help as well, either monetary or these cleaning supplies that we've talked about, or maybe if you're able, safely, your time, your volunteer time too.
Yeah, thank you, Joe, for mentioning them, by the way. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's, you know, we have this new program that we're rolling out with QCAP and with the Quincy Chamber of Commerce to help those specifically, you know, our hospitality workers who are just like everyone else, you know, facing such hard times right now. But I appreciate you mentioning them because, yes, every opportunity we have to share with folks that these organizations are here and they're here to help and they're here to provide resources to all of you at home. It makes such a difference, and it's so impressive to see all of the community members really come together like this. And yeah, thank you for mentioning those organizations.
Sure. I know that there was a resolve last night about getting an update on the financial status of the city. I spoke with the mayor about that this morning, and obviously he's thinking about it as well, but he didn't feel he'd be ready to present next Monday night. He's still waiting to hear, I guess, how the federal stimulus dollars could be used here in the city. But what are your concerns about that, Nina?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like anybody else who is going through this right now, they're thinking through, okay, you know, do I need to file for unemployment? You know, do I need to think about, you know, scaling back some of my personal expenditures right now? Do I need to think about applying for, you know, deferments on rent, on student loans, on, you know, car insurance? And, you know, each person that is thinking through that right now, I mean, you sort of pull that back and scale that up. You know, so too are my colleagues and I thinking about that when it comes to the city's finances, you know, and excited is not the right word. I am eager, I think. I am anxious to get into that and to start looking at and sort of informing ourselves so that we can plan for what's to come for the spending that we have here in the city. I mean, look, every day there's new news, there's new information that's coming out, and that impacts every single one of us here in the city. But again, you sort of scale that back, that also does impact, you know, how we operate as a city. And so I commend my colleague, former council president, Ward 2 councilor Brad Kroll, for bringing all of my colleagues and myself along for this really important conversation. You know, again, it doesn't mean that right when we have the presentation, we're going to have the answers the second we get off the conference call with one another. But it does absolutely get all of us on the same page and helps us to better inform and educate ourselves on decisions that we need to make moving forward throughout this pandemic and then after it as well.
Sure. What is on the agenda for the next meeting? Are there items that you're focused on right now? Still with us, Nina?
Sorry, Joe, you were breaking up there a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll ask you again. What is on the agenda for the
Joe, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. Can you hear me?
Sorry, you were breaking up there for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I think it might be my connection. It's not that great all the time. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh, no problem. Just wondering what's on the agenda for the next council meeting.
Yeah, so that should be determined later today and tomorrow, and then we'll get that out you know, between Wednesday and Thursday as we normally do. You know, as of right now, we are looking to have a finance committee meeting to have a presentation on some of the items that were currently pending in finance. And then, of course, this update on the revenue as well. So, you know, if anything will be added, anything additional, that will, again, go out in a couple of days when the agenda goes out. But as of right now, those are the two things that we're looking at.
Okay, very good. How is the JP Fuji Group holding up through all this, Nina?
You know, I think a lot of the personal resilience that I have and the sort of approach that I take to things comes a lot from my cousins and how they manage. You know, the success that we've had over decades that we've been able to operate as a family is because the communities that we operate in have been so supportive, you know, and at this time, especially, you know, it is the most important thing that we do to prioritize our employees and to make sure that they're taken care of and to make sure that, you know, we do everything we have in our power that we have access to make sure that they're okay right now too. So, you know, it's one day at a time. We're very lucky. We're very blessed to be in a community that has been so supportive of us. And so we can sort of take those resources that we've had over time to really figure out how we can give back as well. But yeah, they're very impressive, my cousins. I had to say that. They're constantly giving me reasons to always want to do more and to keep doing better. So
yeah, great inspiration, certainly. Anything else you think we should touch on right now?
No, just to remind folks to please stay at home as much as possible. Again, I say that knowing how hard it is for me to not want to go outside right now and take my dog out for a walk.
Yeah.
But especially, you know, over these 2 weeks when it is going to be so scary and so challenging, you know, I think at all times possible, just, you know, FaceTime, video chat with family members, with friends, and check in on them. But, you know, I still see people out and about. And I think it's really, really critical, especially at this time, that we really do try to exhibit some self-discipline and control and just try to get through these next 14 days, you know, really try to keep the numbers down as much as possible. We've, unfortunately, Joe, at the beginning of this, I talked about some great numbers when it came to recoveries, but we've also had some deaths here in the city, and, you know, every single one of them, you know, is tragic and horrific. And I think that we are doing everything we can to keep those numbers down. And, you know, we each have a role in that as well. And we need to take our responsibilities to make sure that we keep those numbers down. So, you know, to everyone tuning in, to everyone listening, you know, thank you for all that you've done for those in the community and reaching out and checking in with your friends and, you know, checking in with people on social media and keeping in touch. And, you know, we're going to get through this. We need to band together. We need to work together. But I think, yeah, just making sure that we're staying safe.
Great. I appreciate your time. Could we do it again next Tuesday, if that's all right?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll have better news to share with one another next Tuesday as well.
Absolutely. Keep the faith, Nia. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Stay safe.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.